You're listening to The Head Trash Show with the founder of Head Trash, Alexia Leachman. Head Trash is the home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence, and contentment in your life. Tune in every week as Alexia shares insights and simple strategies to help you create some headspace to experience confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman, and thank you so much for joining me today. Now, today I've got a really fascinating topic that I'm going to be talking about today. Today I'm discussing the link between our psychological stuff, i.e. our head trash, and the illnesses and physical conditions that we might be experiencing as a result. And to help me do that, I'm going to be speaking with Dr. Eva Detko, who's a holistic natural health practitioner. It's a really fascinating topic of conversation. We're going to be speaking about psychoneuroimmunology. I think I said that right. It gets shortened to PNI, and it's a real scientific field. But before we start, I just want to update you on a few things. Now, as you know, we've recently launched the new Head Trash website. It was either last week or the week before, I can't remember, because it's all, well, to be honest, a little bit of a blur in my head, because it's been going on for much longer than that behind the scenes. So I think it was in the last 2 weeks. But there's a load of new stuff up there that I just want to tell you about in case you haven't been to the website for a while. And maybe you've never been to the headtrash.co.uk website. So let me just tell you what you can find there, because there's loads of really good stuff for you that can help you on your head trash clearance journey. So first of all, let me just tell you about some of the products that I've got up there. So these are products that you can just buy and listen to on your phone. There are also other products that combine workbooks and stuff. So really good, you know, almost like the closest thing you're going to get to a one-to-one session. So what have we got there? Well, there's the Keep Calm and Carry On section. And these are just MP3 sessions to help you to keep calm and carry on with your life. So this is a bit like emotional first aid. They're just really great sessions that people turn to time and time again to just keep them in a good place, in a nice, emotional, calm, happy place. Then there's like a pregnancy collection, which I'm adding to all the time. As you know, I've got a lot of pregnancy work that I do. And I've got my other pregnancy and childbirth podcast. So there's a lot of crossover here. So there's a pregnancy collection, which is ever expanding, and there's new audios going in there every couple of weeks. So keep an eye on the pregnancy collection, but some really good stuff there to help you deal with the emotional ups and downs of pregnancy, as well as prepare for childbirth and get rid of all those fears in the lead up to birth. So really useful stuff in there. There's also a fears and phobias section. There's not too many fears in there at the moment, but there are some in there. So do check out the fears and phobias section in the shop. And there's also, we've got a confidence program, a boost your confidence in a weekend. So this is like a mixture of audios and workbooks that really help you to sort of make that confidence program quite unique to you by helping you to understand what your unique little quirks when it comes to the things that are sapping your confidence. So that's a really great one too. And then finally, there's our Calm Your Mind in 10 Days program. So as it sounds, this is 10 audios that you listen to, one each day, and at the end of it, you will have a much calmer mind. And I came up with that one because with all the sessions that I've done and all the trainings that I've done, I've noticed there are certain things that just seem to work time and time again for people that really have a massive impact. And those are the things that I've put in that 10-day program. So there's some really great stuff there for you to start really sorting out your head trash, that particularly if you feel that you can't afford the one-to-one sessions. But that brings me brilliantly onto the one-to-one sessions. So now we've got a load of new one-to-one sessions up there. Because one thing I realized dealing with all the emails that I get from you is that a lot of you are really happy to do your own head trash clearance work. And you don't really want me to do that, but you maybe need a little bit of help unpicking your head trash. So I've added some new sessions in, and I've called these ones Head Trash Clearance Coaching, where basically we spend time chatting about what's going on in your head and we come up with your head trash clearance to-do list. And then you can go off and clear it, because I found that a lot of people just struggle with figuring out what is going on in their heads. So if I can help you to do that bit, then it means you don't have to spend so much on a session. You can do a lot of the work yourself. So it's a bit like a happy medium place between me helping you, but you doing some of that clearance work, almost like I'm holding your hand on that journey. And then we've got some head trash coaching sessions. And these are a little bit different because we use the technique reflective repatterning, but this time we're using it specifically around your goals. So basically, if you've got a goal that's been eluding you or something that you really want to achieve, then we can eradicate some of the obstacles, the mental blocks that you might come up against in advance. So rather than you waiting that you come up with these blocks and they start affecting you and stopping you from achieving your goals, we can clear all that emotional stuff before you even start trying, so that we're literally paving the way so that you can go nice and smoothly along that road to achieving your goals. So those are the head trash coaching sessions. And then of course you've got the head trash clearance sessions, and those are really meaty sessions where I'm just diving down deep and clearing your head trash. So they're much longer, those sessions, because we need the time to basically do the clearance work. So those are the three types of head trash sessions that you can get. But I've also added another type of session. That's a pregnancy coaching and birth preparation sessions. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I've been doing a lot more work in the pregnancy sector and with pregnant women recently, and particularly around my own births, where I used a lot of the work that I do in my own birth preparation in terms of planning for the childbirth. And believe me, it worked like magic. It really did. So I've now also offer head trash sessions, but specifically around pregnancy and childbirth preparation. And those sessions are really great for dad, for mum, but they're also great for baby. I worked on baby while baby was in my tummy before baby was born, and did some amazing work using the techniques that I work with. So there's also some pregnancy coaching and birth preparation stuff. So that's just a little bit of a quick tour of the new stuff that's on the website that you might be interested in. I'll mention some other stuff as I put it up there. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes. There's going to be some new events coming out soon as well. So I will definitely keep you posted. But anyway, that's enough about me. Now back to today's show, talking about psychoneuroimmunology with Dr. Ava Detko. This is a really fascinating conversation, particularly around where you think there might be things that you can do with your mind that can start to address some of the physical conditions that you might be experiencing. Because let's not forget, the body is merely communicating to you that something needs to be addressed in your life. So this is a really great one if you're really into this kind of stuff. So now I'm just going to hand over the time that I spoke to Dr. Ava Detko all about psychoneuroimmunology. Well, hello, Ava, and thank you so much for joining on the Head Trash Show podcast.
Hello, Alexia. Thank you very much for inviting me. Really excited, particularly because of the topic that we're going to cover. I'm quite passionate about it.
I know. We're going to talk today. Hopefully I'm going to say it right, which is psychoneuroimmunology. Did I say that right?
Yay. Well, PNI for short.
PNI. So I'm going to use PNI going forward, which is basically what I can understand is the psychology behind what makes us ill. Is that right?
Yeah, it is right. It basically explores the whole field of psychoneuroimmunology research is fairly sort of, well, it's very rapidly emerging, but it is basically exploring the links between our immune function, our nervous system, and our hormonal system. Okay. So therefore, it is exactly what you said.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Now, before we dive into that, because it sounds like it's going to get quite meaty quite quickly, because there's lots of long words, scientific stuff going on. So before we dive into all that, just let us know who you are, what you do. I know you've got a brilliant podcast, which is the Path to Holistic Health. Is that it?
Oh, Holistic Path to Health.
Yeah.
And so enter either in the search, it will come up.
Yeah, and it's doing brilliantly. It's at the top of the charts on iTunes at the moment. So it's doing really, really well. You only launched it recently. But just give us a little bit of background as to what you do and how you came to sort of know about psychoneuroimmunology.
Well, I actually started my journey in the field of just, if we say, natural health about 16, 17 years ago now. And it was due to my own health problems, and I was basically exploring different things and trying to help myself because I wasn't really getting any help from anybody else. And it was really time to take responsibility, learn more about how my body works, etc. So I actually started in the field of nutritional sciences. But very quickly through my work, I realized that the missing link for me really is what goes on at the mind level. Mm. So that's when I dived into hypnotherapy, NLP. Recently, I've added havening techniques to my toolkit as well. And the psychoneuroimmunology, because I already had quite a good grounding in terms of what goes on at a physiological level. My PhD is in physiology, amongst other things. So I was quite sort of interested in that side. But when I discovered psychoneuroimmunology, I started learning more and more in terms of how we can actually influence what goes on at a physiological level through applying our mind correctly. Because we can get programmed by other people, or we can get programmed really badly. But equally, we can actually have a lot of, we do have a lot of control over where our health goes. So for me, this came sort of as I was studying hypnotherapy, this came into view, and I latched onto this because of the two marrying together, which is really what my work is about a lot of the time. So that's why I'm so big on this, because I think people still underestimate just how much control they do have over their health, physical health. And even though it's more commonly accepted that there is a link, because back in the day, particularly, you know, if you would go to a doctor, you know, you get your label, and your body is your body and your mind is your mind, and they're two separate things. That's no longer the case. People don't approach it that way anymore. And yet, I think there is more work to be done, because there are all sorts of sort of conditions and situations where people think they're absolutely doomed and there's nothing else they can do, and that is certainly not the case. So if we know more about how we can affect our health through the way we think, and it is our behavior, it's the thoughts, emotions, feelings, everything that goes with it, I think the more people can actually take more responsibility for their physical health going forward. And yeah, that to me, that's really, really quite important, because it's part of the empowerment, obviously.
So it's basically using, sort of addressing a physical condition by adopting new thinking patterns, having new emotions, and really trying to make the shift in the mind in order to address a physical condition. Is that how the PNI works?
That is it, because what actually happens, there is this whole process of communication. We have our immune system communicating with our nervous system, communicating with our hormones, and this is happening through the limbic, hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal axis, or HPA axis. So there is a definite, that this has now been shown in research, that our thoughts, ideas, attitudes, so for example, if people have a lot of anger, aggression, hostility, any of the negative emotions, that negatively affects the activity and the number of lymphocyte population, so obviously white blood cell count.
Okay.
So that's been shown quite clearly. So at the same time, if we get rid of those negative feelings and emotions and thoughts and whatever's bothering us, particularly the chronic stress, that is the things that are sort of going on in the background that are bugging us all the time, that is the thing that is particularly damaging. If we can replace it with most positive way of thinking and just generally feeling happier and feeling more positive about the world and about our lives, then that's most definitely, that is going to positively impact our immune function. And the reason why it's so important to positively impact our immune function is, well, really all chronic illness, when you think about it, is to do with your immune system not performing in the way that it should. I mean, not even chronic, but even, you know, your regular colds, flus, and things like that, you will be more susceptible to that. If you're knocking your immune system through the floor because perhaps you're feeling very angry or anxious or fearful. So there's that's the link.
Right. So basically, the presence of these negative emotions is almost sort of making your system toxic, probably making it acidic, I would imagine.
Yeah, toxic is a very good word, because, of course, what actually happens at the physiological level is a release of stress hormones.
Mm.
And particularly cortisol is, as much as there's time and place for cortisol, as we know, we need it. On a, you know, if it's there all the time and the body doesn't have a chance to clear it, it becomes toxic. So we've got, you know, emotions can be toxic for that reason. Mm. And also it damages our tissues.
Right.
It damages, you know, anything in the body, any tissue in the body can be actually quite compromised by that constant exposure to cortisol. Mm. And that includes our gut.
Mm.
And of course, when you start having holes in your gut, whether through dietary means or through just being stressed out all the time, then the whole host of issues opens up. Mm. Because then we're talking about allergies, we're talking about autoimmunity, all sorts of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make a lot of sense to make sure we don't go down that road in the first place. Mm.
So I'm hearing that this is an option that you might try if you have something already that you want to address. So is it a case of, okay, I'm not well, I must just flip my thoughts over to a more positive mindset? Or is there something a little bit more specific that we can do to help us, you know, let's say, oh, I've got IBS, therefore I need to think like this to get rid of my IBS? I mean, is there something a little bit more specific going on that we can do? Or is it still a very general, get rid of negative, move over to positive?
It's both.
Okay.
And it's both. And actually, can I just say that we have to recognize that in anything that we look at, including autoimmunity, cancer, even with there's a link between cancer and depressed state of mind. There's a link between worry and depression and arterial degeneration, and also things like I said, autoimmune. So all the serious stuff. There is a link there, but we have to also recognize that there are other factors to be addressed. Mm. So I wouldn't like to make it sound as though this is the answer to everything. Mm. You know, this needs to be a balanced approach. And for example, in autoimmunity, you will have, you have a small genetic component there, or a bigger genetic component, depending on autoimmunity. But of course, that doesn't mean that if you have a genetic component, you're going to get the disease. There are other factors.
Mm.
So there are factors, like I said, integrity of the gut, that would be a very big factor. Obviously, the nutritional state.
Mm.
And also a trigger. Because there could be a virus going on. But of course, if the immune system is strong, it will defend itself against it, and that won't be a problem. It only becomes a problem when we're weak and susceptible to things like that.
Mm.
So to answer your question, it's both.
Right.
So on a day-to-day basis, making sure that we actually don't have anything in the background that is you know, maybe, you know, there's always going to be something. People will have financial worries, so they'll be stressed out about the kids and things like that. But just managing those things on a day-to-day basis, that's quite important. But it can be more specific.
Mm.
So, for example, if I work with somebody with a specific complaint, I have worked with cancer patients before, and what you would then focus is you would bring different techniques. I will use hypnotherapy for this, but I will also use other things. You can go as far as visualizing your immune system and what goes on at the immune system level. And you can put the scenario, you know, you can go for your outcome over what's currently happening, and you can alter what's currently happening, if that makes sense. And you would use very specific imagery. And it will be specific to, obviously, the person will, more often than not, they will come up with their own idea on how they see it. It could be that, I don't know, you imagine if you're a Star Wars fan, for example, you'll be going with that theme.
Yeah.
But equally, it could be something completely different. Well, you know, whatever works for that person. But then you go into the detail of making those very specific, whether you're looking at your white blood cells and you're looking at the virus or toxin or whatever else, and you're looking at what's going on within the cell. So you go into a lot of detail And obviously you have to work with whatever condition it is to make sure that it makes sense. So it is both.
So basically, like, so for example, depending on what you're experiencing, then it's worth, if somebody at home wanted to sort of give this a go, and I'm not suggesting that anyone listening with cancer would be recommended to do something like, but if something simple like a cold or some virus like that, to just really maybe get a little bit savvy about the virus, what it might look like, what it's doing to your body, understanding where it's affecting your body, maybe look at a couple of diagrams online of what the body is and anatomically, that kind of thing, and then do some visualization to imagine the toxins being cleansed away, that your immune system fighting back, maybe with lightsabers or whatever it is that's going to work for you, and just so I'm kind of visualizing that happening at a kind of cell level. And then that can start making shifts within the body by simply visualizing. Is that kind of what you're suggesting?
That is definitely, you're right on the money there. And it has to be something that works for you, of course, because if you don't like Star Wars, then you're not going to respond to that. Yeah. But yes, that is exactly it. And at the same time, so that's obviously that's the visualization part, but doing when you're not feeling well, whether it's a cold or a flu or things like that, people sometimes get frustrated or push their bodies beyond what their body wants to do, so stuff it full of drugs and carry on anyway, and sometimes you don't have a choice, you have to do that. But as much as possible, just giving the body sort of time to come right down, and you know, whatever you can do to just generally relax, so any meditation, relaxation, anything like that, that will also have an effect. Because, of course, that alters the whole hormonal environment, and therefore that has a knock-on effect on the immune function.
I know, it's even something really simple. I know that when I feel like I'm coming down with a cold, or I can, and then, you know, like my other half has got the full-blown flu, and I'm thinking, I haven't got time for this. There's no way, I don't want to go down with the flu. And so, you know, often when we start going down with something, we'll say, oh, I'm coming down with something, I've got a really bad throat, and oh, that I'm going to be ill, I can't, you know, and you start planning the fact that you're going to be ill and thinking, right, okay, I might have to start pulling back, I might have to cancel the night out I've got in a couple of days. And you might start almost letting your body know on every single level, based on the thoughts you're having, that you are going to be ill and it's going to be horrid. And yet, if you just stop in that moment and go, I haven't got time for this, I'm not going to be ill, I'm going to be fine. In fact, I'm fighting it right now. My cells are winning. I'm winning. It's all okay. And I've been doing that and thinking, well, let's see if this stuff works. And it does really work. I'm amazed. I haven't come down with what my other half has, because I'm just sitting there going, my cells are really happy. They're fighting back, singing it, you know, going to sleep, going, my body's in healing mode. And I wake up and I'm fine. And I haven't come down with this dreaded flu. And I'm persuaded that it's because I'm kind of thinking my way out of it. Or maybe I've just got a stronger system. I don't know. But I believe this stuff works.
Definitely. Because don't forget the cascade of hormonal. Because you're having a thought. That thought is registered within your nervous system. And there's a whole cascade of reactions following that. And there was somebody who said belief becomes biology.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. So if you believe, and I have to say, I do the same thing. So for example, you would notice, and I know a lot of people react like this, when they, for instance, go on London Underground or go on public transport and somebody sneezes, they get completely paranoid that they're going to get a cold. I had to do some work on this, but I reprogrammed myself, and right now it doesn't bother me who's, you know, sneezing all over me, because my belief is that my immune system is strong enough to defend itself, so it doesn't matter. So I just carry on as normal. You know, I wipe the snot off my face and I carry on, you know. And that is massive. That in itself is massive. So that's definitely true. That's what I said earlier. People can program themselves for health, or they can program themselves for illness. You know, a lot of people will be quite sort of fearful and paranoid about getting sick. And so that is one thing to work on, definitely.
And I think also there's a really important piece, which is the idea that when we're ill, a lot of people act like the victim. And if we take the victim mentality and we need the hero, i.e. drugs, to help us get rid of this, we can't do it on our own. We need somebody to rescue us. And we're letting go of our power. We're letting go. We're not taking responsibility for the situation. Whereas if we own the illness and embrace it and accept that we have a role to play in the fact that we have it, and therefore we've got a role to play in getting rid of it. We don't need somebody else to get rid of it for us. We can do it. So we don't need to go to the doctor to get the help. Sometimes we do, and doctors and medical professionals are really, really important and do a really, really good job. But by relinquishing that control or that responsibility to somebody else to wait for them to fix you, as opposed to thinking, hang on a minute, I can fix myself here. What do I need to change in myself for me to fix this myself? And often you can just do it yourself. You don't need all this external help. You can just do it yourself. And that is an important shift that can really work wonders sometimes, I find.
I'm really glad that you actually brought this into a conversation, because I work a lot with celiac disease. Mm. That's mainly because that's my other area, and I've got a couple of books that are, you know, gluten-free and various other things free as well. And I have to say that I work with other autoimmune disorders, but I'm going to pick on celiacs in particular. And I'm not saying that that applies to everybody, but generally within the celiac community, there is that feeling of being hard done by. Mm. And this is the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. I can, you know, I've got a very severe sensitivity to gluten, but believe you me, there are a lot worse things that can happen to a person. But there is that aura of negativity and just being victimized. Mm. And I have to say, it takes a lot of work for me to get through to those people that actually, just by having that sort of attitude, they're actually making their condition worse, because all they're thinking of is cutting out gluten and how difficult that is. Mm. When in terms of whether it's celiac disease or any other autoimmune disorders, you really have to sort out your head if you're going to make progress. And to be fair, you know, you think autoimmunity, yeah, that is just terrible, and it is not great, but there are so many functional medicine practitioners across the US and Canada who actually work with autoimmune. Some of them specialize in certain autoimmune conditions, and they will be the first one to say that you not only can you manage it, you can actually reverse autoimmune a lot of the time. But a massive, massive link will be to get your head sorted.
Yeah.
So for sure, going from that space when you feel that, you know, you're a victim to actually taking control, definitely.
And also, I guess, making peace with your whatever it is that you're experiencing, and not accepting it in the sense that, oh, well, I'm ill, I've just got to take this on the chin and just deal with it. But that sense of, rather than fighting it mentally and having that mental resistance, accepting it in that moment and accepting that you are taking responsibility. Again, sort of that idea of just, you know, where people just get so frustrated and so annoyed that they've got whatever is going on, even whether it is the cold or whether it is, you know, something more serious. It's that mental resistance versus that mental acceptance that then enables you to sort of work with it and then start guiding it away or getting rid of it. You know, that idea of, you know, if you've got a dog that's trying to bite you on a lead and you're just trying to fight it away with a stick, well, how about you start being nice to it, accept it, get it to be your friend, and then just throw a nice stick away and it'll go off on its own. You know, that idea of actually working with it rather than fighting it the whole time in that mental way, I'm sure can go a long way as well to trying to heal some of this stuff.
Well, yeah, because that alone will bring a lot of negativity if you're trying to fight it in that way that you described. And, you know, with a cold or a flu, like you said, you know, you still need to make sure you're well hydrated, to make sure that you eat well, or sometimes actually not having much food is the way forward, getting lots of sleep, and just relaxing and just thinking, do you know what, if I just take it easy for a day. For me personally, if I ever get anything, I know it's not going to last beyond 24-48 hours, but what I'll do, I'll just put everything off to one side, and I know that for that 1 or 2 days, that's it. I have to take priority. My health is taking priority, and that is another thing that people will struggle with, because then they will put their work you know, the work would be priority or kids or whatever else. But personally, my approach is just, I know that if I take it easy and I'll just relax and I'll sleep loads and I do all the right things, one day and I'll be done with it. So it's making those choices, I suppose. And I know it's not always possible to make all the right choices. But if people struggle to prioritize their own health, then that's another thing that they need to be working on.
And is there any, does this field of science, is it a field of science? Is it known? Is it recognized in the scientific community now, this field, P&I?
Well, it is. It's looking at the effect of emotional state on things like immune markers and, you know, hormone levels and things like that. So it's purely
pure science,
physiology,
and so is
linked
there
to behavior and psychological. So it brings together things like psychology, neuroscience, physiology, biochemistry. So it's almost like it's drawing a lot of the research areas together to specifically focus on this theme.
But does it look the other way around? Like, for example, these types of thoughts, these type of emotions tend to lead to these kind of conditions. Is it looked at that way? So what kind of, you know, like, are there typical behavioural patterns and emotional patterns that are linked with, let's say, IBS or breast cancer or immune conditions? Or could we sort of point any fingers at certain types of emotional patterns and say, ooh, hang on a minute, you might get diabetes if you carry on like that?
Well, it usually links to long-term depressive type states, long-term, you know, anxiety, that sort of thing. We know, for example, that people with depression are much more likely to get all sorts of physical illnesses.
Right.
And probably if they don't resolve their depression, that would be probably the cause of death, would be some sort of physical condition. So there's that sort of thing, but it's, I think it needs to be chronic. Okay, just because you get upset about something, it's not necessarily going to, having said that, of course, if it's a massive trauma, then that can be a trigger. And that can, so in terms of autoimmunity, for example, there could be different triggers like viruses, bacteria or toxins or fungi or whatever, but also a trigger could be a massive traumatic experience, because that will knock the immune system through the floor. But generally speaking, in terms of connection with things like diabetes, coronary heart disease, cancer, we're talking about this long-term exposure to stress. So it could be just being stressed at work. It could be not being able to say no to people and then feeling really resentful about it. It's all of that sort of stuff.
So basically, if you've got stuff going on, if you've got piles of head trash, you need to sort it out, because you might be ill.
Exactly.
Bottom line.
Exactly.
And that now science is recognizing that these negative emotions and these beliefs that really build up that resentment or that anger are really damaging the body in quite significant ways.
Basically direct impact on your white blood cell count and whatever's going on within the immune system, definitely.
And you mentioned earlier the biology of belief, and that, were you referring to Bruce Lipton's work and Bruce Lipton's book?
Well, that's one that people can go and
That's a really great book, and certainly when I read that, it's Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief, and he's got a ton of stuff online that you can check out, some great videos on YouTube, and it's really worth buying the book. But he and I did interview somebody who also does his line of work, an epigeneticist. So if you want to listen to another episode in the podcast with Charan Sadar, who's an epigeneticist, and you touched on this as well, the idea of genetics, you know, maybe you might get a disease because of genetics, and yet Bruce Lipton's work
Of course we can change our gene expression as well, so it's not set in stone. I was trying to say. Exactly right.
So even though our parents might have had cancer, or there might be a thread in the family, that doesn't mean at all that we would have it, because we might not express it in that way. And the best way we can avoid that is by having positive emotions flooding our system that mean we don't express the gene.
Yeah, and clean diet. And
obviously,
we still need to bring that side of things into it. So clean diet, clean lifestyle, of course, and you know, positive thoughts and emotions, definitely.
Yeah. So when you say clean diet, what do you mean by clean diet? Do you mean like no meat, no alcohol, no that kind of stuff?
Or? What I mean by clean, we are obviously bombarded with toxins. And when it comes to the immune system, people often think that, you know, that people think of bacteria and viruses, and they think that that is obviously where the immune system kicks in. But toxins also are an attack on the immune system. So we need to appreciate that in this day and age, we are bombarded with toxins from, you know, pretty much every angle possible. So you're never going to be able to reduce the toxicity or eliminate toxicity in your environment completely. But if we overload the body over sort of period of months, years, decades, we have great sophisticated mechanisms in the body to detoxify various things, but because there is so much of it, they can get clogged up and saturated, and that is another pathway to ill health. So when I'm talking about clean diet, I mean, I definitely personally believe gluten-free for starters.
Okay. And
reducing sugar, obviously, because that's highly inflammatory. So when I'm talking clean, I'm not only talking eat organic whenever possible, because there's so many, you know, pesticides and various chemicals in our foods. I'm talking obviously filtered water. So that's a must. I would say, if, you know, if you're going to make one change, get a water filter, because there's just so much residues of antibiotics, hormones, all the horrible stuff that we don't want in the body.
Tap water
is a no-no. And plastic water, to be honest, bottled water, I call it plastic water because people think bottled water is so much better. But really, when you think about it, you have no idea how it's stored, and actually there has been residues of plastic will be found in the water because it just leaches into the water. Yeah. So particularly if it's not stored correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it hits
the
sunlight,
definitely not a good option.
Yeah, no, definitely. Bottled water is terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. So I call it plastic water. Basically.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. It's awful stuff.
So it's things like that. Just being a bit more mindful about where your food comes from. And, you know, I know it's not possible for people to get organic stuff all the time, but maybe if you grow a few veg if you can, or get it from a more reputable source, or it small changes go a long way, really. So it's not about perfectionism, but it's about being mindful.
Yeah,
and in terms of lifestyle cleanliness, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if someone's smoking, then clearly their lifestyle is, you know, that's affected, isn't it?
So
it's all of those things together. So there's loads and loads and loads of things you can do that can help you clean up your diet and lifestyle. And that's important because, like I said, the toxic overload has got a really, really bad effect on the immune function.
And so one thing that I've sort of picked up with the various things I've learned over the years is this sort of how that toxicity really affects the acidity of the body, and how when your body's in an acid state or it's more acidic, you're really more prone to having it's a breeding ground for disease. And so if you can kind of switch your body over to more alkaline, so introducing more alkaline foods and drinks and liquids, and then that can help you to defend yourself. Do you agree with that?
It goes without saying, I didn't say that, but it goes without saying that processed foods are obviously something that has to go, and preparing your own food, having lots of veg in your diet, and definitely reducing sugar. Sugar is very acidic, inflammatory to the body. So, and yes, I agree, the more you can sort of balance your pH, the better.
Yeah.
You know, there are some still arguing out there that it doesn't matter and it doesn't have any impact on anything, but I would disagree with that. I'd say that balancing your pH is quite important to keep your body happy.
No, I certainly keep an eye on my
pH. And this is the reason why I've got a gluten sensitivity anyway, but our house is gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. So that's for that reason, because they are highly acidic and highly inflammatory components of the diet. And whatever obviously stimulates inflammation in the body, you know, if you've got that chronic level of inflammation, all the chronic illness you can name will have one thing in common, and that would be chronic inflammation.
Right, okay. Which goes back to sugar.
Exactly. Sugar, gluten, various things like that.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then all that stuff is made worse by all these negative emotions that are also at play, just making the whole situation worse.
It just makes the body more susceptible then. Because, for example, like I mentioned, the gut. So if you constantly stressed, you'll be causing damage to your gut lining. Mm. And the moment you have holes in your gut, bigger particles of food can get through it, and then the immune system will go, wait a minute, that should not be here, and throw a response. And that's how people experience symptoms of allergies, intolerances, and obviously autoimmunity is very much about the gut integrity as well.
And so, you know, you mentioned that those, I mean, for me, when I hear stress, is I think some people are just so used to being stressed, they don't notice how stressed they are. You know, they might not even say that they're stressed. And yet,
that's true.
You know, so you kind of live in that bubble of stress for so long that you don't realise what your body is going through. And it's only when you kind of take yourself away from it that you look back and think, wow, that was pretty intense. Except not everybody gets a chance to pull themselves out of those stressful situations or to really clock how stressed they are. Are there any ways that people can find out, not find out, but, you know, like a bit of a, are there some apps that you can use to see how stressed you are? Is there a measure that you can see to see how much stress your body is under before you start getting ill that you're aware of?
I think it's all about self-awareness, really. And I completely agree with you. People desensitize, don't they? Mm. They desensitize because they live with a certain thing. So, for example, they could be, I don't know, just feeling maybe not very worthy. And then they get into a relationship, which is really when somebody else looking at it, if they're thinking it's quite abusive, but they're getting so stuck in that everyday arguments and then feeling bad, and then they make up and they go, oh, maybe that's, you know, it's going to be okay from now on, and they get stuck in that cycle that it's almost, it becomes normality. Mm. And with various other things as well, whether it is to do with stressing about a job or finances or certain things perhaps that we can't control. And I think it's stepping back and asking yourself, taking that time out, because what you know, the reason why people fall into those patterns is because they never actually stop and take stock. They just go through that cycle. It's every day is the same thing or whatever. So I think the first and foremost, you need to step back and actually ask yourself certain questions. Like, for example, you know, even things like the basic things of how do I feel about myself? Maybe there's some hang-ups they may have about their weight, about the size of their nose, about whatever. Mm. And then there needs to come a time where you have to understand certain things you can't do anything about. And now you have a choice. Are you going to work on changing your response to those things and therefore feel more positive about it as a result? Or again, are you going to go and feel that all your life problems are because your nose is too big? You know, so it is a lot to do with self-awareness, because it's so different for everybody. There's going to be a cocktail of different things for everybody. So in terms of measuring it, I think it's
very difficult.
You know, it's difficult, but when you know that you struggle to say no to people, or when you know that you go into a social situation and you're scared of speaking, or you're scared of saying what you really think, then that is a form of stress, because you're scared of rejection. So you've got that underlying fear of rejection. So it's recognizing things like that. Whenever you have a bad feeling, stopping and questioning why that is there. But some of those feelings, as you said, because people are with them all the time, they will desensitize and they won't even notice. So just a little bit of self-analysis and self-awareness goes a long way.
And I guess also, if they're struggling to sleep, for example, insomnia is a classic sign of serious stress problems. You know, there's going to be, if you've got IBS or if you've got some things going on, then that's your body saying to you, hey, You've got some stuff you need to sort out here. Come on, listen, I'm starting to take the heat, but if you don't do anything soon, I'm gonna crank it up a level.
Yes, definitely.
And it's your body talking to you, isn't it? And if you ignore it, it is just going to get worse. So if you have got a minor health condition, you know, that is sort of a little niggle right now, then it's likely, if you don't address it and sort it out, it'll get worse. So that's kind of almost like your body giving you the heads up, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and if you get repeated infections, for example, so someone could say, oh, you know, I hear it so much within my family alone, but, you know, you have to accept that you won't change people and you can't help people unless they want to help themselves. But there's this constant, I've got a cold again. And, well, if you have more than one or two per year, then that means your immune system is struggling.
Yeah.
You know, if you get spots, for example, or, you know, and if the physical symptoms like that, even the small physical fatigue, constant fatigue, because that's how it all starts.
Mm.
It starts with this, or maybe, you know, you have repeated headaches. It's all those things that people go, oh, I'll just, you know, pop a painkiller and it will go away and I'll just carry on. Well, what is this really telling you? Because if it happens once a year, then, you know, things like that can happen. But if it becomes repetitive, then definitely there's something. So taking notice of, as you said, the any of the physiological stuff, or suddenly maybe you start having digestive problems, not just IBS, but generally maybe you're feeling, you know, that you've got indigestion or difficulties digesting stuff.
Mm.
Again, that could be a symptom. The thing that I think fatigue is the one that constant tiredness is the one that people would say, oh, that's just normal, isn't it? You know, I'm tired. Well, is it? You know, at what level is it normal? At what level is it not normal? So again, just being a little bit more in tune with your body. That's the whole idea of mindfulness, isn't it? Just being aware of what's going on internally.
And I did a big cleanse, kind of a 1 week program a number of years ago, where we did, you know, juicing and really sort of alkalize our systems and cut out loads of toxins for the week. And the first 4 days were pretty hardcore, I have to say, as I was purging caffeine and sugars out of my system and really going through that cold turkey. But my goodness, on day five, the level of energy that I had and the mental clarity was like, wow, I was laser sharp. I needed 4 or 5 hours. And I stayed like that for a good few months until I managed to retox myself. But certainly when I've experienced that level of energy, I've got a marker, almost a comparison to know, okay, that's what good is. That's what feeling awesome is. And so if I'm not feeling that, then I know that sluggishness, that inability to concentrate or to focus or to not even make a simple decision, you know, just sort of to fanny about and not be able to, you know, to dither because you just haven't got that mental clarity. That as well can be a real sign that your system's already starting to struggle under the weight of it all, isn't it?
For definitely.
Yeah.
I generally encourage people to stick to the 80-20 principle so that they make changes that are long-lasting, sustainable changes to their lifestyle and their diet, and obviously working on their mind as well.
Mm.
So that, yes, if you occasionally want to treat yourself, it's really not a problem.
Yeah,
it's loading your body with toxins every single day that is a problem.
Yeah.
And if you stick to the 80-20 principle, you don't then have to go on this extreme one. Even if you go for a week cleanse, you won't, your, you know, not side effects, your withdrawal symptoms from different things won't be quite as bad.
No, well, this has been absolutely fascinating, Ava, and I'm sure we could carry on forever, but I'm sure
I just say one thing, because one thing didn't get mentioned here, and I think that's quite important, is how well people are able to control the pain, people particularly in chronic pain.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about pain.
Need to really look into this.
Mm.
And if I may recommend one thing, if people may have seen this is an old program called Hypnosurgery Life.
Mm.
And this is an absolute cracker. This is actually using hypnosis to anesthetize the body or the area that the guy who is actually having the surgery, it's a hernia operation. The person who's doing hypnosis in this program is actually the guy I trained with, Dr. John Butler.
Mm.
And you can still find it on YouTube. It was on Channel 4 in 2006 called Hypnosurgery Life. And when you watch this, you just realize how powerful the mind is. Because if you can convince yourself through programming your mind, then you it's almost like a creating a feeling of having a local anesthetic in that area of your of the body. That's what he's doing.
Wow.
And then he's being, you know, cut open. The surgeon is, you know, doing whatever he needs to do in terms of dealing with the hernia. And then he is brought out of hypnosis. He sits up and he goes, "Can I have a cup of tea and my ham sandwich or whatever it is?"
Wow.
Now, you could not do that after general anesthetic, as I'm sure people are aware.
Yeah. Amazing.
So that, I think it's a very, it's a fantastic eye-opener. If anybody, I'm sure people listening to your podcast won't doubt the power of the mind, but that is another one to, when you see it on the screen. And then they kind of roll the guy into the studio and he's talking about his experience. So it's all sort of covered life,
Wow. I'll get a link for that. Is that still on YouTube, you say?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Right, we'll get a link, put fantastic. That in the show notes so that people
can watch
that.
And it is real. It is real because there's some funny comments. I mean, there's loads of comments. But it's interesting how people sometimes see it with their own eyes and they will still deny that that's possible.
Yeah.
And I know this person personally, Dr. Butler. He's been in the field of hypnotherapy for over 35 years. He runs his own, obviously, trained with, Hypnotherapy Training International is his company. So believe me, it is what really happens. That program is real. And it just really makes you go, wow, that is incredible. It's incredible how powerful the mind is and how it can actually affect our physiological responses, because pain is a physiological response.
Fascinating. Well, no, this has been, I'm sure that we'll think of more things that we can start talking about, but we'll maybe have to put another chat in another time, Ava. But thank you so much for joining me on the Head Trash Show today. Where can people find out more about you if they want to? There's your podcast, but also online. Would you mind just sharing your digital details with me, please?
Sure. It's the podcast can be found on iTunes, and that's Holistic Path to Health. And I cover sort of, it's quite broad in terms of all things natural.
Mm.
And my website is dreva.com, which is dr-eva.com.
Super easy to remember that one, super easy. And you're on Twitter as well, aren't you, at Dr. Eva?
Yeah, and people can actually go to my Twitter.
Perfect.
From the website, they can.
Excellent. Well, I'll have all that on the show notes and obviously on the video as well. And I'll probably put a link in there to the Bruce Lipton book as well. And if there's anything that Ava and I think of after the chat that we've had today, then we'll be adding that in there as well. If there's any juicy extra bits of info that you think might be useful to following the kind of conversation that we've had today. So thank you once again, Ava, for joining me on the Head Trash Show today.
Thank you. It's been great talking about this because I'm so passionate about it. I really want to raise more awareness of this and how much people actually do have control over their health. It's important that people realize that.
Mm. Well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Alexa.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on the Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get your copy of the free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes for more strategies, tips, and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time.